Hi, welcome back to another great podcast. This week, we are joined by Eric.
Eric lost connection incident.
God damn it!
Welcome, Eric, when he gets back. Welcome, Max.
Hail.
And welcome, Marcus.
Hello.
We're a little short today. We're missing three of us, three of the main core.
I would like to point out Stuart Little is also short.
Oh, that's very true, but he is quite large. Anyway, Ryan couldn't, I don't know where Ryan is, Jamie couldn't make it, and Caleb couldn't make it. Eric is also having technical
issues. I'm here now, yeah.
Eric is here now, that's great. So, from last week, we read up three chapters. So we've gone to chapter two, chapter three, and then chapter four.
Right.
Let's just start, how did everybody enjoy reading the three chapters so far?
I gotta say, like, I really enjoyed it. I know, like, personally, I kind of discussed this earlier. It's like, as you're reading it, like, at first you're like, oh, I gotta read. And then you, like, you just get sucked in. And your whole world kind of, like, shifts around it. Like, I'm reading it at work, and I kind of, like, stopped reading it to do, like, work stuff. I'm like, yeah, this stuff's, like, not as important, right? It's like, there's, like, a whole nother adventure going on here, you know?
Yeah, that's how I sort of read it. So, like, I had my day off, so I was laying in bed, and I just got, like, I got my covers all on, and I had a glass of hot tea, and I was just sitting in my bed reading. And, like, after the first, like, two lines, I was like, oh, boy. And my tea got cold. That was pretty sad.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's so immersed into it, so that's kind of, like, one of those things where it's so easy to, like, you know, snuggle up almost with the book kind of thing where you're just like, you're in the Shire, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, these chapters were excellent in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
So who wants to take the first chapter?
I mean, personally, I'd like the third, but...
Okay, so we'll leave Marcus for the third chapter. Eric, you wanna tell us about the first chapter?
Yeah, unfortunately, I kind of read this a little while ago, so I'm gonna need some help here, boys. But
sure. I think we'll all have to help each other out because I also read it.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, sure.
So I guess did it start with like Frodo essentially like starting to plan for his journey kind of thing?
Well, it starts with basically going off a little bit. Like what I thought was really cool about the first chapter was how much time passed. Like,
The 17 years or so.
Yeah, so especially like coming from my only knowledge of Lord of the Rings was from the movie, like growing up watching the movies constantly.
He leaves immediately in the movies.
But in this, it's like, okay, cool. So he's just hanging out. And it's like his birthday goes by. And I loved how he sort of talks about how he's continuing Bilbo's birthday as like a traditional festival. So like now it's no longer a birthday. It's more of like a festival that goes on, even though it's only for like 20 some people towards the end of it.
Yeah, it's more of a close personal friend,
right? It's almost like a wing, like a yearly wing night,
right?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. And then he basically like Gandalf shows up a couple times.
I guess just before we go into that, do we want to discuss kind of the 17 year thing, right? That's kind of like one of those things where it's like, why did they do that in the movie?
Yeah, he goes from 33 to 50.
Because, like, I don't know. It's like one of those things where I don't think it would be that hard to, in the movie, be like, oh, look, there's, like, a time gap here, you know?
Yeah, well, they also make the point that age is the same age that Bilbo left for his journey. And I think they're I don't know if he's trying to make it sort of synonymous with, like, all right, so something's going to happen when you're 50, so-and-so, this is the time to... For like hobbits to like, I don't know if they're like the most curious or whatnot, but
yeah, it could also play into five as a number. I don't know anything, but it's possible.
Yeah, but they definitely made a point to say like, oh, Bilbo was also 50 when he left.
I think one thing, and I mean this might be too simplistic, but
oh no,
in my mind that the movies didn't have. Also, I think Eric, you're echoing, but. No worries for now, because it's all good. Apparently, once I call it out, it's fine.
Getting picked up on...
Anyway, in the movies, like, having that 17-year time gap and then you'd have to kind of explain the aging of the people in Middle Earth, which is just like different. It's like something that the movies never touch on, but like the ages of people, like if you were to explain them, it would need like some weird exposition, right?
That's true.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, yeah, no, that is very fair.
So I think also, that might be why it was
avoided. For everyone, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or good makeup artists or whatever, but.
I thought,
but yeah,
I
probably a budgetary thing. But like, so I think something you do lose from that is I think the 17 years kind of plays up how, like, in reality, kind of how slow some of these things kind of move. You know, it's like there's hints of bad stuff coming, and you know, you can kind of see it, but it's like this stuff doesn't happen instantly. It's kind of like corruption is kind of a slow moving thing, right? It slowly seeps in and builds up over time. It takes, you know, years and years, and you see the hints and you're kind of like, well, you know, we don't need to do anything now. And then 17 years later, you know, it's like, oh fuck.
Yeah. Right.
And what I really thought about while watching this, or while reading it, I mean, while watching it,
right.
In my brain that was watching it.
That's how vivid it was.
Dude, honestly, the writing in this was so good with, like, just painting the picture in my head.
Well, I want to stop you there on that, because I think when most people imagine that, like, it's because it goes into, like, flowery detail, right? Everyone always talks about him describing a mountain for, like,
his, like, his descriptions are so...
But what he really does is he facilitates you imagining it. He just says like three or four things, and then it's there in front of you.
Right.
That's all he does.
It's like such an easy, like, he sort of just sort of like hints at different stuff so that you see the main picture, but your brain just sort of fills it with just the backdrop. The like stuff that like he doesn't need, that I've seen a lot of writing where it's sort of like they describe everything in painstakingly detail, and you're sort of like, all right. Like, how long do we need the gem in Moraine's hand flickered with the oceans. Come on.
Right. It's just like,
I think that's something, maybe it's kind of like, you know, he knows there's those things where it's like, all right, people know what a farm looks like, right? We don't need to describe like how a field is plowed and stuff like that. So what he's really focusing on is like describing the stuff that people wouldn't know what it is, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of why it's so easy, because it's like you already have so much stuff in your brain that like he's kind of tapping into without even, you know, knowing.
So it then goes into the part where he's sort of at the Green Dragon, which I don't know if anybody else, when they read the Green Dragon, started singing the Green Dragon song.
Yeah, you gotta do it, right?
Classic in the Green Dragon. And then so everyone sort of starts, they start talking about sort of the outside world a little bit, about like strange happenings out in the big folk.
Yeah, the elves are moving west.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some evils rising in Mordor.
Yeah, and I think they talk about how like, the elves have all started moving west. There's like more and more interactions with the dwarves and the Shire and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of, generally, things are changing, right? Yeah, and it's kind of something's off, you know.
Yeah. And then, doesn't Gandalf shows up at night when Samwise gets in an argument with.
Bar where he's like, the people are like, you believe in elves, kind of thing. He's like, I'd rather believe in elves, you know.
Yeah, and they're like, what a loser, and everyone's like laughing at this one guy. Like, yeah, but that's not true. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, and you know, he's like, oh, but Mr. Bilbo said the elves, and they're like, oh, you still believe that crap, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, Bilbo was crazy, and that Frodo's starting to turn crazy, and everyone's like, yeah, he's fine.
And I mean, I think that's something very poignant, is kind of this idea that these things are real, but because these people have never seen it, they deny it.
Why would they believe it? Dragons can't be real. I ain't seen one in the Shire, so there ain't no such thing as no dragon. And then so Sam ends up like sitting there for a while after everyone leaves, and then like he starts to head out, and then does he see Gandalf come back?
I think it's Gandalf is back in there, and it's just like Sam happens to be doing the
bar walk back
the hedges or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like a it kind of like skips scenes basically at the point like, where it Gandalf says that Gandalf is back.
Right. He comes back and starts talking with Frodo, and then he's like, "Oh, I'll tell you more about it in the morning."
Yeah, it's the big ring revelation time.
Yeah. Which I have a question while I was reading it. So Gandalf sort of starts to explain to Frodo what the ring is. And Frodo obviously is very concerned. And he's like, well, how did Gollum get it? And Gandalf sort of goes in this long explanation of the creation of the rings, the Great Ring War or whatever with the elves and the humans.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh, we've got this final test where he tells Frodo to throw it in the fire. And Gandalf gives this like worryingly laugh at him as like Frodo is like really like really having trouble throwing it into the fire because like he's like obviously becoming very attached to it. But does Gandalf just take it from him and throw it in and then Gandalf picks it up?
Yeah, I think so.
Which to me, I was like, wait a minute, because then I don't know. My knowledge of the movie is that he's like,
he doesn't maybe actually touch it.
Don't
give me the ring.
Yeah, and so I had to go back and reread it because I was like, wait a minute, did he just grab it? Like,
Yeah, I think he doesn't actually touch it. It's like
I must have just like missed a couple words there.
But I guess something interesting about the like the whole the like you know information that he has on the ring and stuff like that is that so he talks about how the only source of information that he's getting it from is Saruman, right? And he kind of starts hinting that it's like, I'm not sure if I quite trust this guy as much as I used to, because he's like, I'm starting to get information from other places and they don't seem to quite coincide what he's been telling me. And that's something he keeps talking about is like the different lores of the different people and stuff like that. Like he's like, oh, in the elf lore, they have this, you know? And
right.
I think that's something that's like, Gandalf is exploring a lot of different places, and then you know the final test is one of those things where it's like, you know, I really do think it's one of those where he, you know, has to read the letters and he's like, well, I wasn't sure until now, and now I'm fucking worried, you know.
Exactly. They make a point to say that Gandalf kept showing up like sporadically. Was the first thing he'd ask wasn't of Frodo, it was like of other people, like, hey, how's Frodo's health? Like, what's going on with Frodo? Like, he didn't want to make it too clear that he was, like, worried about Frodo becoming, like, crazy or deranged. They also, Gandalf's story of how he comes to meet Gollum, where he hires the aid of a ranger to go out and capture him. And you're like, oh, Aragorn! Shit, it's Aragorn! And then they, like, track him down. And then, like, there's the whole.
I think he was called the Best Wanderer. I thought that was pretty.
Yeah,
sweet.
That was pretty. It's pretty fucking sweet. And then Frodo like goes, "Well, why didn't you just kill him then? Save us."
That's classic,
dude. That's classic. And then like Gandalf's like, "Oh, why wouldn't you have pity him?" There's like a great conversation.
Oh yeah, they're talking about how like Bilbo should have killed him or something.
Yeah, or Bilbo should have killed him. That sort of thing.
Yeah, I think he's like, why would you show such a beast pity or whatever? And then like Gandalf says something like, "You haven't seen him yet," or something.
Yeah, you
like
haven't
that.
Met him.
He says pity. Pity is like what stayed my hand. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, "With great power comes great responsibility."
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he does, right? He's like. I forget what the exact line is. It's in the movie as well, but it's something along the lines of, like, taking a life's, like, no small task.
Right.
Like, if you think that, like, you have the duty to take it, like that's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he also say that line, The Hobbit?
Maybe.
I think he says that line also to Bilbo when he's giving him the sword. Like in those like caves or whatever, like especially like in the movie. I mean, I haven't read The Hobbit, but
I don't know
if that's in the book. But then Gandalf he basically goes in the whole discussion with the ring, what the ring is, and that he needs to take it to Rivendell. Am I correct on that?
Well, I think they were just kind of like, you need to get out of the Shire.
Yeah,
and then he's kind of like, where should I go?
And he's then like, Rivendell wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, okay. He's like, well, we have to go destroy it at Mount Doom. I'm not telling you that you have to, but we got to just get it to Rivendell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and figure out. But you might still have to end up going to Mount Doom. He doesn't like shy away from telling him, like, if it all doesn't work out, you're probably going to have to take it as well.
Yeah, because I mean, I think Gandalf is kind of aware that, like, yeah, this ring's not corrupting these hobbits as fast as it's corrupting right. these other guys.
Yeah, he's, I mean, like, he mentions that specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you get the classic, don't tempt me!
Yeah.
I like that part. And then, so Gandalf basically reiterates, please don't fucking use the ring.
Whatever you do.
Please do not put on the ring. And Frodo's like, okay, sure. Rolls his eyes.
All right. With his hands.
rubs his hands together. Okay, sure, man. And then, so Gandalf leaves at this point. He's like, all right, cool.
But not yet.
No, no, he doesn't leave. What's next?
Sam.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
So the whole time during the conversation, they have, they're like, oh, you could hear like hedge trimmings in the background.
Yeah. And then it just stops.
There's like one part where they're literally, Tolkien's just like, he's like, yeah, you no longer hear hedge trimmings. You're like, whoa.
Classic DM move. You no longer hear people outside. I wonder what's going on outside. I guess I'll go outside, I guess.
Yeah, and then they're like, yeah.
There's a dragon! Come on.
Good job, DM.
Classic. And then, so Gandalf pulls Sam in and is like, oh, or this is right before he says, you gotta be careful of dark spies. They're always listening. And then instantly pulls up a spying Sam. And says, oh, please, sir, don't turn me into a toad.
Yeah,
that's classic. A classic. Yeah. Which is then, like, that's not how Gandalf does things, you know.
Well, like, I like how they have like Frodo laugh, and he's like, yeah, he's not going to turn you into a toad.
Dude. He's like, okay, man, I'll let him know not to turn you into a toad. He might do it. Of course, Sam's just like, please, I don't want it. And then, So Gandalf goes, oh, okay, I guess Sam will be your companion on this trip. And Sam's like, oh, well, I see elves. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, so that's something, elves. Right? It's like Sam right away, he's like, I am down. You know,
dude,
he's not even worried.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was something. It's like, holy crap, man. Sam's loyalty, like, right off the bat. He's like full on, like, solid. Sleeps at his master's feet, you know?
Yeah, I like that part. Especially coming from just, like, being his gardener. Well, I guess they've been, like, friends for a while, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's worked for him and stuff like that. I don't know if they're, like, friends, right? It seems more like he's friends with, like, Merry and Pippin to me.
Well,
that's
like,
a good point.
Well, I guess you're right. It's more like if your dad's friend had a son, and then, like, mm-hmm. that son, like, idolized you, kind of. And you're sort of like, oh, yeah, I'm friends with him.
Someone described it, to me as like Sam's like a low class like plebeian and like Frodo's basically aristocracy.
Could you see it as like Don Quixote and Sancho a little bit?
That's kind of what I was gonna get at, where it's like they're like kind of like two separate lives, but there's like
Lord of the Rings, Don Quixote 2?
Always comes back to Don Quixote.
Oh, please, Mr. Frodo.
But then, yeah, no, I agree, where it's like, then that's kind of the thing, where it's like, Merry and Pippin seem to be, like, on the same level as Frodo, so they're, like, buddies and stuff like that. Like,
they share
Sam
some wise cracks.
Seems like a very unique hobbit, right? Like, the other ones seem more similar, and he seems the most, like, I don't know.
Sam seems like a younger, like a little kid. Not like a little kid, but like...
He's simple, right?
He's like a little closer to like Bilbo to me, right? He just wants to go on an adventure, you know?
Yeah, okay, I guess. I always assumed it was more of like Merry, Pippin, and Frodo were like the seniors, and then you have this like lonely like junior just sort of like hanging out with them. You're sort of like, all right, okay, guy.
I think that's a good way to put it, the way that I feel it in my mind as well, actually. Like, there's not like a huge age difference, but it's like a difference of like just... Mature. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like mature. Like the fact that like Sam sleeps at Bilbo's or at Frodo's feet, whereas like Pear's sort of like, I'm just gonna sleep over here. Sort of fucks off and like does his own thing. I was like, all right, like I kind of see like he's obviously like not on the same level as like Pippin and Merry and Frodo. Like he's definitely like one, like at least one thing down. Like he's obviously like not. I wouldn't say he's not respected, but like.
I mean, that's the thing. There's a, it's, you know, it could very easily turn into a, you know, the, oh, I don't respect the lower class thing, but it's like Frodo's a good guy, so it's not like that
right.
at all, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't, like, take advantage of the fucking man.
And that's kind of the same thing with right? It's like the gaffer had Bilbo's back.
Yeah.
And that's because they treated him well, you know? It wasn't a lording it over them sort of thing, you know? I guess from there Sam is kind of forced to go with Frodo, and he's kind of gung-ho for it.
Yeah.
And so Frodo kind of needs, like, an excuse to leave, and then he's also kind of like, oh, man, it's time to leave the Shire. I've always wanted to do that, but he kind of gets, you know, nervous about it and such.
Yeah.
Well, it takes, like, 3 months.
Yeah. He's like, my last 3 months in the Shire, you know.
Yeah, Gandalf even says, like, I didn't say go instantly. I said soon, so take a while.
He wanted to make sure that
thinks you're leaving.
It wasn't, like, a conspicuous leaving, like...
Yeah, it wasn't a Bilbo leaving.
Yeah, exactly.
I was kind of surprised, I guess, because they don't really, I guess, talk about this as much in the movie. It's kind of how, I guess, kind of permanent his, like, leaving the Shire was kind of in the book, right? Like, he sells his house.
Yeah, that I did not know.
And it's like, yeah, he's like, his scheme for how he's gonna, you know, not make the people suspicious as he sells his house, and then he's moving, and that's when he goes on his journey kind of thing. So.
Dude, I love how Frodo and, like, Pippin and, like, Sam eat, like, tea, like, have tea on the Sackville Baggins. They're, like, walking around the house, like, yep, this is good, this is on the thing, and they're like, yeah, we're not doing the dishes. They could do that.
Yeah, I love that they left them the dirty dish for that.
It's so petty. It's like, Jesus, guys.
Yeah, the contempt for the Sackville Bagginses, I thought was like, I thought it was well done because they're like still cordial, but like they're like, yeah, these guys.
Both of them treat each other with no respect, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Frodo sells off his house. Everyone sort of knows that he's leaving. That he's going to. Yeah.
Oh, so he bought a new house, right?
Yeah.
In the Brandy other side. Something.
Brandywine.
Brandywine. Yeah. So everyone sort of knows that he's leaving. He's let everybody know that he's leaving. Oh, it's like a 3 days travel. So like people aren't going to be like questioning. Oh, he's just going over there. We'll never see him again. Goodbye, Frodo.
Yeah.
You're
so
I'm sorry. Do you think him selling the house and such kind of plays into them being aware a little bit more of like the finality of this trip, you know?
Yeah. I was going to bring that up actually, which is like, they know that this adventure isn't going to take them long. And that's something that they really stress in this, which is funny because he's like, well, you just have to get to Rivendell. So I'm beginning to like wonder, it's like, does he actually, like, does Gandalf think that Frodo can't carry the ring, or he kind of thinks that like he's almost tied to it now?
That's kind of my thought too. I kind of think Gandalf is a little bit, he kind of knows a little bit more than he's letting on at this point, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Interesting. I didn't get that impression, but it kind of makes a lot of sense, actually, in that case.
Because that's the thing, right? He's like, he's noticed that the hobbits are not affected by the ring, right? He said that himself, and it's like, and he keeps talking about how it's like, oh, you know, it might play a role bigger than you think in this one, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely making it a little bit too clear. Especially when he's like, specifically mentions, like, hey, so we'll find something to do in Riverdale. Yeah, you might be taking it to Mount Doom, just saying.
Excuse Gandalf, me?
Are you saying that I am? Maybe.
It's a possibility.
We'll see. You know, once
you never know. It's like, oh my god, alright. So he sells his house.
Mm-hmm. And buys the one in Brandywine.
Yep. And then so we meet Mary, who is going ahead.
Yeah, and
he's leaving a day before.
Yeah, he's like gonna warm the house.
Yeah, and also at this point, Gandalf has left, he's supposed to have come back before they even leave.
Right, because he says, like, maybe it's best that I travel with you. And that's what Frodo gets a little worried about. Like, what are you talking about?
About the Black Riders, right?
Yeah. Well, he talks about... No, he doesn't talk about the Black Riders. He talks a little bit about the sort of, like, Sauron's, like, knowledge of the rings. That he knows Shire and the corrupted... Like, he knows of the corruption. Like, because we see later on that Frodo doesn't quite know what the Black Riders are.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I thought he mentions at least that they're like corrupted men or something like that. Because he gives him the full, like he talks about how all the other rings are accounted for and stuff like
that.
But I don't think he mentions that they'd be like hunting him.
I don't think he mentions. I think he just says that they exist. I don't know if he says, oh no, they're here now. They're going to try to kill you.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a very different. Like, the way that Frodo's story starts and the way that Bilbo's story starts is vastly different. It's like, instantly you're into danger, whereas the beginning of the Hobbit's like, oh, I forgot my handkerchief. That sort of thing. You're like, oh, okay. All right, guy.
The Hobbit seems a lot more like, it's fun. You know, it's a fun adventure. Yeah. This one seems a lot more like, this is some bad shit, guys.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, the Hobbit's about reclaiming something great, whereas this is about destroying something evil, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, no, that's a really good way to say it.
You just said that, got me like 8 times more excited about the book. Destroying evil? Oh, what a fucking move. I want to destroy evil throughout my life.
Yeah. That'd be nice, man. That would be nice.
So, Mary, Sam, and Pippin, they set off, right?
Well, Mary, or no, Frodo.
Frodo, Sam. Thank you.
And he overhears the gaffer having a conversation.
He
doesn't know who it is, and he didn't turn around to see who
but
it
he,
is.
But he, like, feels wary. He's like, for some reason, I don't want to go, like, see who that is.
Yeah. He's like, hey, Beckins! And he's like, oh, what? Yeah, he's not here anymore. He moved. He's like, oh, where? He's like, oh, over there somewhere. He's like,
Yeah, they described them as hissing.
It's like, Jesus, snake guy.
Yeah, honestly, the Dark Riders, I was a lot more terrifying, I think, in the book than they were even in, like, and I thought they were pretty scary as a kid, but, like, holy crap, man. Some of the, like, imagery they give you for them, I'm like, oh, that is scary stuff.
Invisible, like, very, like, non, like, you can't see their face, dressed in black. It's just like them, like, sniffing. It's like,
dude, really they fucking,
yeah, the sniffing.
Where he talks about, like, Frodo's in the woods, like, looking at him or whatever, and then he, like, starts crawling toward him. That's like straight up Japanese horror movie.
Yeah, that's instantly what I thought. I thought instantly it was like, oh, dude, it's The Grudge.
Yeah, right? Like, that, like, freaky motion where it's like crawling at you super fast.
Right. Oh. Throw up some.
And you're just like, uh-oh, you're just frozen and it's coming at you faster and faster.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
But anyway, so Frodo, Pippin, and Sam all set out, and Pippin is not aware of what's going on, right?
Right. And Sam has to go to the gaffer room because he goes home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he goes to get, but he leaves the party for like a good, like, 2 paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
Pippin's like, are we ready to go now? He's like, yeah, all good. And he like throws his big pack on. They have like a whole little short quib about how Sam's like carrying a whole bunch of weight. And then Sam's like, I could carry your pack too, Mr. Frodo.
Oh, yeah.
Frodo's like, no.
Yeah, Frodo, yeah, no, we can tell you're already carrying more than your fair share.
Yeah, and then they set off on the road, and then they have their first encounter with the Dark Riders.
I could take the Dark Riders.
Go for it, Max. You're a much braver man than I.
They set off in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah.
Because Frodo wanted to wait all day for Gandalf because he was worried about that. And so he was supposed to kind of, I don't know if they were planning to set off in the morning or whatever, but He ends up leaving at night because Gandalf never showed up.
Well, he was waiting because the sun comes up, and he's like, oh, he was hoping to see Gandalf riding over the ridge.
Mm-hmm.
He never came. You're like, oh, disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Been there, Frodo, been there.
Oh, she said no. But go ahead, Max, continue.
Yeah, they're heading off at night, and it's like the middle of fall because Frodo decided he wanted to like set off on his journey on his birthday. Yeah. It kind of makes sense, right? Yeah, that's when all adventures begin on
Is the fall equinox.
And incidentally, as we're recording this, it is the winter equinox.
It's not an equinox.
Solstice, my bad.
Thank you. Yeah.
Regardless, so they set off, and they have this great scene where they're like walking, traveling on like a fall evening, and it's just kind of like describe the scenery, and it's like night, and you can kind of like see the stars, and it's great imagery. And they're going, and I think like in the middle of the night, they're like walking up a hill, and then like Pippin just starts bitching about how he like wants to go to sleep.
Right.
And that's kind of like a recurring theme throughout this, is that like Pippin, like, he doesn't know what's going on at all, so he's like kind of just like, oh, like dicking around the whole time.
Yeah, he's kind of like, it's like, oh man, these elves, man, this is pretty cool. I'm gonna go to bed. You know, like, oh,
yeah,
man. Yeah. Well, it's like Frodo's having a serious discussion with him, but yeah, continue, Max.
Yeah, so and that like that really is like a theme throughout the whole thing, and you really get to see like why like there's that like fool of a Took scene in the movie, and then in like this, you actually are like, yeah, somebody shut him the fuck up.
Yeah, he's just like so out of the loop. It's like, holy shit, dude. Because I remember kind of like, I don't know, when I watched the movies as a kid, I was like, oh, Pippin's cool. Now I'm kind of just like, man, this guy's annoying, dude.
Yeah, I think it's really, he doesn't realize the gravity of the situation all, because like he's been kept in the dark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And he's just a hobbit, you know? Although, compare that to the Mary entrance scene, Mary's pretty
dude,
big.
Mary's so fucking dope, dude.
But anyways, yeah. Max can continue with the stuff.
Well, so they're traveling for a bit, and, you know, they sleep, and they have, like, a nice scene kind of, like, going over, like, you know, how they eat. Like, they ate a small, like, repast. And it's like for a hobbit. I don't know what they're eating, but I imagine it was like a full meal.
Yeah, I like that. Two course meal.
And so they continue for some time. They wind up sleeping because Mary was bitching, and then they wake up in the morning. What? Go ahead.
Pippin was bitching.
And then
Pippin be bitching.
Yeah, like they wake up in the morning. And they have like a and then so. They go into like some, I wouldn't say mundane details, but I was kind of thinking like they talk about like how they eat breakfast or, you know, like what they have to do. Like they have to fetch water to bathe themselves, and it was like cold water. And I just kind of thinking like it was really nice of him to like really paint the scene for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was just like good pacing. So
there's something about that where it's like even though you realize they're on this, you know, crazy wild adventure that's, you know, like insane, they have to stop the greatest evil in the world. It's like, you know, they're still people, they still have to exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they wake up and like does like Frodo at this point go for like a walk, like he goes and like looks at something?
He like wakes up late, I think, and then he goes to fetch water for them or something like that.
No, he doesn't go to fetch water, he just goes and like checks out like the surroundings and then comes back and like
oh, and they're like, where's the water?
He's like, yeah, you didn't get water. He's like, yeah, I didn't know you wanted me to get water. He's like, oh, whatever. And then like, he like goes and gets his own water, and then they like talk about washing. I was like, man, Jesus, guys.
There is kind of something where Frodo is a little bit of like, I don't know, kind of star child, right? Where it's kind of like, it's like, dude, like these other guys are making sure you don't freaking die here. Like you got to eat, man, you know?
Yeah, I kind of got that from Frodo a little bit where it seemed like Pippin was his servant, or at least that's kind of how he was treating him.
Yeah.
Which I just thought was kind of weird. Like obviously like Pippin's his cousin, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean the Pip or Frodo definitely seems to have some like, and I mean maybe that's the like relationship with the elves and stuff like that. But advanced level aristocracy stuff going on, where it's like, man, I don't know if this guy could like survive without servants, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
But I guess after the like morning, they set out again and
pretty
uneventful day of walking for them, right? Until the afternoon.
Yep.
Indeed.
Max, this is where I really want to hear Max's way of doing it. Not because I'm too spooked to do my own, but yeah, Max.
PM, you're scaring us. Can we turn the lights on?
Never. We never allowed to turn the lights on.
Oh yeah, dude. Guys, gotta turn the before the Dark Rider stuff.
I mean, I need my lights on just to read the book. Like I'm trying to like follow along a little bit, so I'm keeping my light on, but just so we can read.
Guys, I'm turning up the lights now, and I have a candle lit. Oh, it's so spooky in my room. When the riders go up, I'm gonna blow up my candle, and then I'll just be dark.
That's kind of spooky. So they're kind of on the road, and I can't remember exactly how it happens. I think they might hear the footsteps.
Yeah, they hear hooves behind them, and they're like, "Oh, is that Gandalf?"
Yeah, he kind of thinks like, "Oh, that might be Gandalf," and he's like, "Well, I mean." He like sees
Gandalf him, wouldn't be coming up from behind us, right?
Oh, is that what their argument was?
No, I don't really.
I think it's again. Frodo just kind of feels the presence.
Yeah, you're right, and he gets like this gut feeling. He says it like wasn't even a feeling; it's like something a little more like.
I wonder if that's Gandalf coming after us, said Frodo. But even as he said it, from the view of the rider, But even as he said it, he had a feeling that it was not so, and a sudden desire to hide from the view of the rider came over him.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think we should get off the road!
So he makes kind of like a weird... I can't... The way it was written, I couldn't tell if he was like... how he was delivering it, but he's kind of like, yeah, like, we should get off the road. Like, I don't want to see this guy.
Yeah, the way I heard it is he's like, yeah, you know, I'm not sure if it really... means anything, but like we should just hop off to the side of the road, you know. I don't really go see, and if it's Gandalf, we get to play a little trick on him, right, guys?
Yeah, guys.
Oh, yeah. Part. He's like trying to like make it like okay for him to hide from it. Yeah.
You know, kind of has to downplay, I guess, the seriousness of it, right?
And then Frodo's the only one who like really pays attention to what it looks.
Yeah, he's the only one who sees it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so Frodo actually like winds up looking at the Dark Rider there, and he's like terrified, and he gets like this sudden urge to like put on the ring, and he doesn't even like realize it's happening. He starts like fondling it, and like he's like feeling it out. And one of the things that really struck me is he's like, you know, like all that advice that like Gandalf was telling him kind of like seems stupid now, like. He's in the Shire, like Bilbo did it. It's like, it's not that big a deal. Like, maybe I should just go through with it. And I thought that was a really like poignant thing. Especially because like whenever you've dealt with temptation, I know I've been there where it's like, you know, in the past I was saying like X and X, but like, yeah, that kind of like just doesn't seem right now that I'm like actually in the moment. Yeah. Right?
You kind of like, is that like your November? Like,
depressed, right?
Yeah, exactly. Marcus, you know, no fat November, right? But it's like that's almost how it seems, right? You're like, oh, I like wasn't like even like I didn't like.
It's not that important, you know. Yeah, it's kind of the rationalizing it to yourself before you do it, right? And it's kind of like, oh, if I can rationalize it, it's okay. But it's kind of like that's not really how things work, you know?
Right, and so. Kind of continuing in, he like the Ringwraith seems to be like looking for them, and then he starts like sniffing. But you know, okay, I should say they describe the Ringwraith just like in the movie. I think they like kind of nailed it.
Yeah. No, it's the Ringwraiths. Yeah.
And he like starts sniffing, but you like can't see a nose. And then like they're like pretty much terrified that they're going to get caught. And then suddenly, like, the Ringwraith just, like, looks in the other direction, just, like, takes off. Did I get that right?
Yeah. He, like, sort of just, like, doesn't he hear something?
Yeah, but I don't know if, like, what he heard was audible to anyone.
He just sort of takes off.
Yeah. I think, doesn't he, like, do a screech or something like that and then takes off?
Yeah.
Or do they hear the screech later?
I feel like they hear the screech later.
Yeah, they might hear... I think they hear one in front of them, don't they? And then one behind them.
I think that's later.
Yeah, that might be later. I think this is... He just
just kind of took off.
Because he comes up really... He starts to come closer to Frodo, and then he hears something, backs off, and then takes off.
Well, I don't think he hears something. I think it's literally just takes off.
Yeah, I think at this point, he doesn't really know that they're there.
Because I think I remember thinking at the time, like, I was like, oh, shit, he knows he's there, you know, kind of thing. I was like, knows.
The nose knows.
Well, come on, man. Cool.
Oh, and this is the point where Sam mentions that he, from his dad, heard that some guy was talking and looking for Frodo.
So Frodo takes off, and then Frodo just kind of like describes what happened. And Mary seems to be like obsessed with the fact that he was like sniffing Pippin. And there was no nose.
Or Pippin.
Yeah, my bad.
It's all right. I get them confused as well.
It's always Mary and Pippin, right? And
exactly.
Twins, so, yeah. But anyways, Max, continue.
Yeah, and that's all I was going to say. It's just like Pippin gets obsessed with like the fact that he has like a nose and that like that can't be seen. He keeps like bringing that up every freaking time. Continue, Marcus. You're saying, son.
I can't remember.
The gaffer. I think.
Oh, Sam. Yeah, Sam was revealing that, like, oh, yeah, I've just remembered. My dad was saying that some guy was looking for you. And, I don't know. He didn't. It was basically describing the scene there.
Yeah, exactly. And he said that, like, the gaffer didn't like the guy very much, that he was kind of like coarse, and that he actually hissed at him incidentally.
Yeah. And he also mentioned that the gaffer is like old and a bit blind, so like, and it was dark, so like he didn't really know exactly what he looked like. So if he looked really like, if he didn't, you know, have a face or was invisible, it would probably have gotten past him.
The face or he's invisible.
Like that thing could have slipped by the gaffer.
Well, I like how they kind of do like the classic kind of like, oh, folks these days with the gaffer and like the ring wraith kind of thing, you know.
Oh yeah, like so impolite.
Yeah, just like, oh man, that was a monster, dude. But yeah, so I guess after they you know, escape the first one, they kind of just like keep walking, right? Are there any events, I guess, before the next one? Do you guys remember?
Well, at this point, Frodo says, hey, let's stay off the road.
Yeah.
So they just start like, they start walking through the woods. And I think, I really like this part because like he starts describing like trees and stuff as they like walk around and parents just sort of like, hey, so how do we know we're going the right direction? And Frodo's just were like, hey, it doesn't matter. We'll get there. It's like, wait, what?
Well, I think it's notable because like our first instinct is that like during the middle of the day, you should be safe from things.
Right.
And like the ring rate, they're on a road in the middle of the day. Right. And they encounter like, you know, like pure evil. It's like, Jesus Christ.
I thought that was cool. And then,
well, so I think that's something that makes the Ringwraiths so terrifying, right? Is they're all black, right? And so it's like you're trying to hide from these things. In the day, you're easier to see, but in the night, you can't see them at all, you know?
That's a good point.
So it's like both times you are completely like, you know, you could be attacked any time kind of thing. It's like the sunlight offers you less protection, the darkness offers them more protection, you know?
Right.
And I guess something that, like, I mean, the scene where they're, like, going across the, like, open field during the middle of the day, like, that was one of the most, like, tense scenes I read. And that's, like, you know, they're going across a field in the middle of the day.
I was like, oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Like, oh, my God, can they get across? Oh, no.
I knew they would, because there's, like, two more books.
Shut up! What are you talking about? They signed a contract to be in the next movie. Of course they're gonna live.
Yeah, they have to live, dude. Just like the Avengers, right?
There is like a little bit of that. Well, not that exactly, but like when you're reading it, like you do really get caught up. You're like, oh, what's gonna happen? I hope they don't get like injured or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And then Pippin brings up that there's a brewery coming up if they just follow the road because it has the best ale in it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And Frodo's like, yeah, we're not gonna go there because you said that.
No, that was after. That was. We're skipping.
That's a very eventful day.
Well, one of the things that happens is anytime they see the Ringwraith always like disappears, or the Black Rider. The Black Rider disappears, goes off, and then they kind of like they're scared, and then they like slowly like with each step start getting like a little more happy again. They start like humming and you know like
having a good time.
Their songs are great.
Yeah, no, and they're always singing like simple songs. But they encounter another Ringwraith that night, and they're like in like a thicket in the wood, and
the tree.
Oh, I don't remember this.
They hide underneath an oak tree.
Oh yeah, no, they were just there, right? They're like gonna sleep there or something like that.
Yeah, and there was like the tree had like had this like hollow sort of like opening, because I remember them describing that. As they were like walking through the woods, like, oh, quick, we gotta hide here, because they could hear like hoofsteps again.
Yeah, and this is where you had the Black Rider crawling.
Yeah,
because it's like it says that it goes to like the spot where they walked off the path, and then starts sniffing, and it's just like, and then Frodo's like watching it, and then it starts crawling, and it's just like, uh-oh.
But like, what stops the crawling?
The elves come.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, they start hearing singing, right?
Yeah. The elves come in. Makes me so happy.
The light bearers.
I honestly didn't think that they'd meet the elves for Sam so quick.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, that was a very quick payoff.
I was like, man, I guess Sam's journey was all worth it. It's like the first day.
Sam's like, oh, can I just stay at Brandywine now? Like, do I have to go all the way to Rivendell?
He's like, well, guys, I'm good. See y'all later.
Nah.
But I guess that was something, right? They do give Sam payoff, but they kind of mention that. I'm like, well, Sam, now you've seen the elves. Yeah. Do you want to keep going?
Like, yeah, and Sam's like, hell yeah.
He's like, this was awesome.
And we're still getting ahead of ourselves. So they hear singing in the woods, and that like scares off the Ringwraith. For some reason, like Ringwraiths are afraid of like elves. I don't get it. But they
I mean wait. What's not to get there?
Well, I don't want to like get like caught up in detail, so like let's just keep moving.
I mean, I think that was a pretty bold claim you made there. I'd like to just have you retract it.
I agree on that one.
Whoa.
Like, you know, like I just like think that, you know, like maybe the Ringwraith would be able to like kill them pretty easily. That they're like not that powerful.
Whoa, I mean, give the elves some credit here. I think the Ringwraith was... like less scared than he ought to have been.
Like,
we never should have seen him again in this story after he heard the elves.
But I guess so. They hear the Ringwraith runs away, and they're excited, and they hide out in their tree. And like as the elven group like passes by, and it's going their way, by the way. And the last person in like the elven group, I guess, of travelers, spots them and just like starts laughing. He's like, "Oh, sick! Like, guys, guess what? There's some friggin' hobbits here."
Yeah, three hobbits in the wood at night. We have not seen such a thing since Bilbo went away. What is the meaning of it?
Yo, boys, check this shit out.
And they're like, "Oh shit, dude."
I guess it is worth noting that Frodo knows they're high elves because they use a certain word.
Oh, yeah.
They use, like, an ancient word, so he's like, oh, these are high elves, not just normal elves.
Honestly, the scene in the movie that shows them basically, like, glowing, fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
In the book, you're just like, holy shit, there's a glow around them, but none of them are holding torches at night. It's like, holy shit.
And just walking through the woods.
They're fucking glowing, dude!
Yeah, elves.
The movie nailed it. Like that's one I was like having a little difficulty, and then I like remembered the movie and all like that. That was, you know, they did it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, so they like start talking to the high elves, and Frodo is basically like, yeah, no, we're going the same direction as you guys. Like, we should definitely all party up together. Like, let's hang out.
And the elves,
are kind of like, I don't know where we're going, dude.
Yeah, like, do you even know where we're going? Like, that's pretty presumptuous of you. And then he's
they like even say that, like, we have no need for the Hobbit, like, the company of Hobbits.
And then Frodo name drops, right?
Yeah.
Those wait, Black Riders, though.
And they're like, wait, Black Rider.
I guess we'll have dinner with you. Frodo.
Well, I guess it should be known that. So what do you with like name drop and all that? So Frodo is revealed that he can like speak Elvish, and they're like, they're like, oh shit, dude, the Hobbit even speaks Elvish, and they all start like laughing to each other.
Yeah, nobody takes Hobbit seriously. Pretty funny.
yeah, 100%.
They're like talking. They're like, oh, okay, like this is, you know, like it's kind of cool. Like we met some Hobbit. I'm like, one of them speaks Elvish, like
high elf,
high elves. High Elven, right? And they basically are. Oh, sorry, I'm trying to think. Oh, and they like talk a little bit, and they're like, okay, Frodo, like he's like really amusing to us. Like he obviously speaks our language. We don't meet many travelers who can speak High Elven, so like, you know, like he's an elf friend. Like we'll let like others know.
Dude,
or is that later?
Shit. That's later.
I think that's later when it's like they're kind of they've had discussions about the stuff, and they're kind of like.
Yeah,
dude, shit's going on, you know.
Dude, because they have this great conversation where he's like, "Well, can you tell me anything about the ring race?" Like, "Oh, Gandalf didn't tell you." Yeah, I'm not gonna.
I shouldn't. Yeah,
yeah. He's like, "I'm not gonna tell you."
But let's not get ahead of ourselves too much. So, after that,
they go to their camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go to the camp.
So what was the camp like?
I mean, it was basically a. Like the woods become denser on the sides, and it's like a hall was formed by the trees of the forest, right?
Yeah, I saw it as like a log of the woods.
Yeah.
Because they like talk about how there's like, yeah, like there's like high roof from like the tree branches and the leaves, and then there's, you know, like a fire in the middle, kind of like a large room that everyone's in, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just sort of like pictured like the war, and then just sort of like.
It should be noted that at this whole time, like Sam's going nuts. Like,
yeah, Sam's freaking out.
Like as they're walking with them, they like, they're just like ecstatic. They describe it like dreamlike. You know, it's kind of like they can hardly kind of like comprehend what's going on.
I just like how Frodo's having conversations with them, and then like Sam's just sort of like, what the hell is going on, dude?
And kind of like on that, and combined with like the dream thing, it's kind of like when you have those like dreams where you kind of just have this like innate good feeling, your whole body's kind of like glowing, you know, you've got that feeling. And that's kind of how I imagine this whole scene. Like everything's kind of a haze. And that's so like they have a feast at this hall. Like, and before the feast, they describe like a constellation rising out of like the, out of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Like the stars like moving across the sky, and at like a certain point they decide that it's like time for feasting based on like this dude coming out of the sky, you know, like a constellation. And they get into the feast, and what's interesting is it is almost like a dream sequence in that, which I think is kind of cool, in that like they were like falling asleep, and then all of a sudden the elves just like spring into action and are like, oh, like wake them out of their drowsiness or sleep for some of them, and like bring them into this hall. And then they have this like huge party, where they're like, you know, sharing all the like elven food. So you guys want to like describe that a little bit?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much more I have to describe there.
Like, right.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess what I was. Each one descriptions of what like each one of them remembered about the scene, and I found that kind of interesting because it was almost in past tense. which I really like adds that kind of like dreamy feeling, like what you remember about it. And I mean, each one of them kind of like.
I have the quote from Sam, the paragraph there, and I think it does a good job of this.
That was a really good one.
Sam could never describe in words, nor picture clearly to himself what he felt or thought that night, though it remained in his memory as one of the chief events of his life. The nearest he ever got was to say, "Well, sir, if I could grow apples like that, I would call myself a gardener. But it was the singing that went to my heart, if you know what I mean."
So yeah, he's like focused on the singing. They all talk about like how like beautifully they speak and like just like it just sounds amazing.
I don't know what could be better in your life than meeting elves.
Well, and I think the quote from you know Sam does kind of play into like the it really wasn't about kind of like the physical things that were going on there. It was something spiritual, right? It's kind of like the apples were great, dude, but like the singing, you know, like that took me to a higher level, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. No, you're still there. And like each one of them notices different things. But Frodo kind of has a unique role in this because he can speak Elvish and he's kind of like listening to what they're saying. He's talking to some of them. And he winds up talking to the leader of their band, like
Gildor.
Gildor, yeah. So what does he talk about with them?
I mean, generally, like if he's seen Bilbo, you know, and he kind of which is pretty exciting. And then he talks about Gildor, I think, brings up like the enemy. Frodo's like, "Whoa, you know, what do you mean the enemy?" And he's like, "The enemy is pursuing me." And then Gildor's like, "Has Gandalf told you nothing?" And Frodo's like, "Well, not really." And Gildor's like, "Well, I don't know why the enemy's pursuing you, but seems like he is." And then he asks him about the Black Riders, and Gildor's like, "Has Gandalf told you nothing?" And Frodo's like, "I guess not really." But then Gildor's like, "Well, I guess, like, it's not really my job to tell you more than if Gandalf hasn't told you more."
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. I really like the way they, like, that Gildor spoke to him.
Yeah, I think there was something. So I guess something I kind of picked up from the Gildor scene is kind of like he doesn't want to reveal to Frodo quite like what he's actually dealing with because he's like, yeah, you don't need that burden to do, you know.
Well,
it's kind of like you can't be paralyzed by fear, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, it should be noted that he doesn't know that Frodo has the ring necessarily.
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. He just knows the enemy pursues him. I think that's what he says. And yeah, at this point, he also says like "I will declare you elf friend."
Dude, this is
people out there helping you. You know.
Yeah.
So it's like a classic video game like faction unlock. He's like, "I now declare you elf friend."
No, it's a title.
Well, it's both a title and a faction unlock, because now he can, like if there's any other bands around. Like
Wood Elf quests.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, that's so fucking cool.
I know. When I was hearing about the elf friend, I'm like, I want to be elf friend.
Dude, doesn't everyone?
He can say, "I am Frodo, friend of elf."
Cool. I am Frodo, elf friend.
Yeah.
Do they have what like it is in Elvish or anything like that? You know, like does he say like "you are blah 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 elf friend"?
Well, my whole book is in Silmaril, so.
Holy shit!
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's actually written from the perspective of the elves on what happened during the War of the Ring.
Mine's actually on the Black Riders and what they were doing and how they're like actually like reluctant heroes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like very similar to like Lucifer's story, but like Lucifer's actually good in real life, so.
Whoa.
my marks.
It's pretty bold.
That's what I learned from my university.
Anyway, Gilder goes on to say, like, or Frodo tells Gildor that Gandalf was, like, late, and Gildor's like, that's not good news there. Gandalf being late doesn't really bode well for us. And
I think there was a really good line. This part, right?
This is my favorite part of this entire
thing. Yeah, where, like, or I guess you can do it, Mark, because you were already doing it. Sorry.
So he's like, the choice is yours. You know, you can keep going or you can wait for Gandalf, right? And then Frodo says that, and so it is also said, go not to the elves for counsel, for they will say both no and yes.
I liked this conversation because it was kind of like you had two I guess kind of like intelligent guys going at it kind of thing. You know?
Yeah. Well, and
what did the elf say about wizards or something?
Oh, do not meddle in the affairs of wizards, for they are subtle and quick to anger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can kind of feel that, like, I don't know if that, like, stung Frodo a little bit. He's like, oh, I gotta defend my friend. He's like, yeah, but elves suck.
Like,
no,
it was 100% kind of like, he asked Gilroy for him for advice, and he was kind of like well, this is good, but this is also good, you know, kind of thing. It's like, yeah, dude, like, I get that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, like,
and then doesn't he go into a little bit about, like elves giving advice, that sort of thing?
Yeah, Gildor goes into, you know, elves don't really give unconditional advice, because it's important to really, like, make sure that you're seeing both sides of things, yeah.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It's also not their decision to do, it's yours.
Exactly. It's kind of like, yeah, you shouldn't have someone else choosing what you do, right? And that's, I think, that's wisdom there. And I think that's something, of course, they play up in the elves a lot, is wisdom, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to start doing that to people.
I got to say, man, this the elven experience to me sounds like a, like, literal, like, 9 out of 10 experience. Something I need to experience at least twice in my life.
Jeez. I mean,
you get that frog grotto bill.
Man, yeah. I gotta say, Ryan isn't here to defend his position against the elves, and I think it's for the best, because the elves are great.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I'm not gonna go that far.
I gotta say, I loved the ending of this chapter so much. You know, and Frodo's asking for some advice with the Black Riders. Like, can you tell me some more about them? And Gildor's just like, yeah, just stay the fuck away from them. Like,
yeah.
Like, flee them. Speak no words to them. They are deadly. Ask no more of me.
I guess something, right, is kind of, it's almost like, say anything, right, that, like, already know. But it's kind of one of those things where it's like, it is a little bit like, to hear it come from somebody else, I guess, is a little reassuring, you know.
Yeah, to hear it come from someone so wise gives you confidence that your doubts or, like, your uncertainties are shared is something really powerful. I think
I also think it really, like, affirms that Frodo's, like his gut instinct is also really good to follow. And he can rely on it more, because he's like, okay, cool. So when I felt evil, like a presence of evil, like when I saw the Black Riders, I got out of the way, and that's a good thing. So now I think he can now rely on his instincts more than before. Because, like, before, you're just like, oh, you guys are kind of scary. And then the elves sort of go, no, you did the right thing. These guys are bad.
Yeah.
And I guess on that, I guess something to, this is way further ahead, but I guess to kind of look for later on would be if he feels that way about, like, Smeagol or Gollum at all, right?
Right.
That's a good point.
Because it's like, yeah, like, you know, he clearly has that sixth sense, so to speak. But
right.
I guess one last thing that I'd like to note about this discussion is the last thing that Frodo asks Gildor is, but where shall I find courage? That is what I chiefly need. And I don't know, I found that a really, like, powerful thing for Frodo to have asked, even.
What was his answer?
Courage is found in unlikely places. Be of good hope. Sleep now. And, I mean, like, he just goes on to say, you know, in the morning we'll be gone, and we'll send our messages throughout the land that you are friend of the elves. May the stars shine upon you to the end of your road.
Dude, that's so dope. I'm gonna start saying that to people. You're a friend of the Malins.
Damn. Yeah, we gotta start saying that, lads.
You are a friend of the Club of the Lions. Or the Club of the Lion Knights, right?
Dude, sick.
You are friend of the Lion.
Check us out.
What's our name? And if you want to be friend of the Club of the Lion Knights, then you just need to click that subscribe button. Like,
smash that like button and subscribe.
Check out our Patreon page on
Yeah, and donate above $100 an episode, and you'll be friend.
All Patreon subscribers are now officially considered friends of the Club of the Lion Knights.
Come check out our booth at PAX. We'll give you a free pin that says friend of the Lion.
So at this point, Frodo falls asleep, and you know, they wake back up, and the elves are gone. And would someone else like to carry on from here?
Yes. So, so yeah, I guess at this point they've decided, I guess, to like just continue on the track and kind of stay off the road. And they actually go kind of like down the hill, because the woods that they were in, it was kind of like surrounded by woods, and then there was like a cliff on one side thing. So they go kind of down that cliff real quickly, and then it actually says they kind of get into some like brambles and stuff like that, and then look back and then see the Dark Rider at the top of the mountain cliff top. I don't know. I mean, I assume the Dark Rider saw them, but I don't know.
They say that it's pretty clear that he saw them, but he couldn't chase them because of the like, he couldn't take his horse down there. You need to be nimble as a hobbit to navigate, or an elf to navigate down that cliff.
But yeah, so they then like kind of cross, and I think this is, was this where the field actually was?
Because
they're kind of going down, they get lost at this point is kind of the thing, and then that's like, so they kind of were in the woods, and then they kind of went too far, I think, like east or some direction, and kind of just get off track a little bit, and then cross through the field, and then I think at this point is when they start discussing that they were going to end up at the, like, you know, the place with the best, or best beer in, you know, the Shire or whatever.
Frodo's and, quick to that down.
He says, he's like, well, because Frodo's like, oh, we should take a shortcut. And he's like, oh, you know, shortcuts quickly, you know, take more time kind of thing. If you don't know where you're going, dude, you tend to get lost, you know? But then, you know, Frodo basically shuts Pippin down, where he's like, yeah, like, shortcuts take some time, dude, but, like, stopping at an inn takes even more, you know?
Got him there.
And it's kind of like, yeah, dude, gotta, especially with hobbits, dude, you know?
Yeah.
Then they come up to the farm on this part?
Mushroom farm.
I think Pippin actually says, like, does Pippin say we should cut through the mushroom farm?
Well, you guys talked about the ring wraith yet?
Which ring wraith?
Well, okay. So they're one of the things is in the morning they actually have like a debate. You guys cut way far ahead. Sorry, they had a debate in the morning about whether or not they should go like straight to the ferry through like the marshes or stay on the road. And Frodo's like really in favor of going into the marshes, and Pippin is like, "Nah, let's do the road."
We just talked about
it. Wait, my bad.
Where you wanted to go to the tavern and get the best beer.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard you guys talk about that. I didn't realize you talked about.
It's in the same conversation beforehand, because they're like, "Oh, we can just go through the marshes," and then Pippin's like, "Well, if we stay on the road, we go to this really sick inn that I know." it's rated pretty high on Yelp.
Oh, and then
they're like, nah. And then Frodo's like, no, we'll go through the marshes. And that's when they get in the mud. And then that's when they're like hiding in the bush and they like look up and they see the Black Rider up there and they're like,
Okay. I didn't hear, like, I mentioned the ring wraith and you guys are like, whoa, what? Okay, my bad.
Yeah. And then they go across the field and that's when I think that this was the most tense part.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Is when you like feel like halfway through and they're like, oh, they begin to let their guard down. I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, they like start like skipping a little bit in the middle. Yeah. Like, oh.
Guys, please, no.
But then I think, I think they kind of play the tension a little bit here where it's like, oh, now there's like, I think as Frodo kind of realizes, or maybe Pippin realizes where they are and that they're at like Farmer Maggot's farm or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you find out that Frodo has a past with Farmer Maggot because he was originally from this area, which is, you know, Brandywine or near it. And basically the thing is Frodo stole a ton of his mushrooms as a kid kind of thing, you know, a little scamp kid, you know, and then Farmer Maggot like brought him, you know, caught him and then brought him to his dogs and was like, well, boys, next time you see this lad here, you can eat him kind of thing, you know, kind of classic, like old man scaring kids, you know, I don't know. I definitely had those interactions when I was a kid with like some of my neighbors where it's like, oh man, he's old man Jenkins, you know?
Yeah. It's an empty threat, but it's enough that it'll like imprint in the kid's mind.
It's terrifying as a kid, but like every other adult kind of understands. It's like, oh yeah, he's kind of just like, he's giving the kid some, you know?
Like, yeah, he won't mess with his farm anymore.
Mm-hmm. But like, so Frodo is still terrified of Farmer Maggot, apparently, even though he's 50 now, you know. But like Pippin, you know, classic carefree Pippin's kind of like, oh no, he's a great dude, me and Mary hang out with him all the time kind of thing. And and so, you know, eventually they walk up to the Farmer Maggot actually finds them walking through his field, and he's like classic no trespassers kind of guy, kind of your good old shotgun toting.
I was gonna say he's like the Gadsden flag, like, you know.
Yeah, he has like mutts and shit, you know?
Growing mushrooms, like, oof.
And he has a huge family and stuff, but
I thought that was hilarious.
So like, it's funny, right? Because when he appears with his dogs or whatever, like Frodo and Sam are like terrified of the dogs, and then Pippin's just kind of like strolling up. He's like, "Oh, hey, how's it going, man?" You know, and he's like, "Oh, Pippin, Peregrin, is that his name?"
Yeah,
But yeah, so then Farmer, and then, you know, Pippin introduces both Sam and Frodo, and then Farmer Maggot is kind of like, he's like, oh, Baggins, interesting. And Frodo thinks that's like, oh man, he remembers me from like way back when, you know, kind of thing. And then he mentions that there was someone asking for Mr. Baggins, and he would offer stuff like that kind of thing. It was the Dark Riders kind of thing, you know.
Dude, like when he talks about the conversation, I thought it was hysterical. He's like, you get out of here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I do like the Hobbit interactions with the Black Riders. Because, I mean, they just want to be left alone, dude. And it's like, this stranger's coming here asking questions. This is some bullshit, you know?
But in the movie, it's completely different. They're like terrified of it. Like, oh, please, just Baggins that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in the book, like, hey, get out of here. You don't belong here. It's like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah, it's like, damn, these little hobbits, man.
The Nazgul, like, going through, like, human towns, like, everyone's terrified. They get to the hobbits, like, nobody here's scared of guys. I don't know. Maybe we should, like, change it up. Maybe we should be, like, I don't know. Like, I'm too tall, guys. Like, really, like, self-conscious.
But, so, I guess, sorry, the ring raid. Or not the ring wraith. So Mr. Maggot, does he invite them to dinner then?
Yeah.
Kind of thing?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, we can't go ahead with dinner. But he's like, wait, you didn't let me finish. I'll give you dinner and then I'll drive you to the ferry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he says he'll like cover them up so that no one can see them kind of thing. And they'll be, you know, he'll help them kind of sneak into the ferry because he's like, yeah, this this ain't right, something's up, I gotta help these boys out kind of thing.
Yeah, you gotta hide people from the invisible man.
And yeah, and then they, you know, they kind of have their dinner and stuff like that, and then is it, does he kind of, you know, yeah, I think it's at this point that he's kind of like, he lets Frodo know that's like, yeah, dude, I know you're the guy who stole my mushrooms when you were like 5.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, he's like, yeah, no hard feelings, dude. And then, yeah, Frodo's even like, he's like, man, I used to be like terrified of you, but you're like, you're a great guy, you know?
Yeah. He says, he's like kind of sad that like
he didn't, he missed out on a friend. Yeah. Yeah. But but yeah, so then, you know, they you know, set out in the middle of the night, or after dinner when it's dark out, with the carriage, and they're kind of, you know, hiding in the back. And it's pretty funny because, like, Mr. Maggot's wife is kind of like the, oh, you, now, Mr. Maggot, don't you go getting into any trouble out there, you hear, kind of thing. You know, the classic,
dude, she's, like, she straight up says, don't go talking to no foreigners.
Don't go like, arguing with any foreigners.
Arguing.
That was so great.
He's like, holy crap, classic, man.
Dude, what a hop.
That's how I knew he was, like, our guy. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, no one left him out. Classic liberal agenda.
but yeah, so then they ride to the ferry, and it's kind of, you know, it's kind of stressful. Mr. Maggot doesn't turn on lantern at all, so they're, like, going in complete darkness kind of thing. And then as they're about to get to the ferry, they start hearing hooves behind them kind of thing, coming closer and closer, and, you know, coming towards them. And, you know, all the hobbits, or
I think,
Frodo, Pippin, and Sam are trying to hide, essentially, more and more.
We really need to cut it short here, so people need to listen to the next episode. Gotta say, finding out this information in this chapter instead of the next chapter shows you how good the old stuff was. They didn't drag you on into the next chapter for nothing.
They didn't need cliffhangers, you know. You just wanted to read because you enjoyed what you got, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, so you find it's, like, very stressful, and then, you know, you can't see his face kind of thing. It's like, oh, man, this is one of them dark riders. But then you finally hear him talk, or I think he, like, pulls his lantern up, and it actually turns out it's Merry, and he's like, you know, he's talking to Mr. Mag, and he's like, what do you want? He's like, I'm looking for Mr. Baggins, you know, kind of thing.
Merry!
Yeah, and then they're like, Merry! And gotta say, I think it's pretty badass entrance for Merry, kind of like riding in on his pony with, like, a scarf and stuff like that. I don't know, I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Real active versus kind of some of the other passive stuff we've seen from people, you know. But and then you know, they're kind of like, oh yeah, they made it to the ferry, are about to cross kind of thing, and then Mr. Maggot gives Frodo a little gift on his way out, and it's a little basket of mushrooms, kind of nice. Nice little wink to the past kind of thing. And I mean, I think that does kind of play into, I guess, some of the ideas of the Shire, where it's like there is a, like, very huge connection between these people. Like, it's like, you know, Frodo only remembers an interaction with this guy, I guess, you know, like, over 40 years ago. But, you know, here they are now, and they're both kind of, like, fondly remembering that when it happened kind of thing.
Oh, and before we get too far ahead, I do want to mention that, Maggot had been, like, talking about how, like, he's happy that Frodo's moving to this area again, because, like, Shire folk aren't good. And then, like, goes, like,
even Hobbiton folks, like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hobbiton folks. He's like, yeah, those Hobbiton folks just ain't right, you know.
Classic city.
Which is one of those, I think, like, Sam and them are all, you know, they're like, yeah, those Brandywine folks ain't right, you know.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do think, and maybe this is kind of like the final goodbye to the Shire kind of thing, where it's like, you know, it's kind of the last great remembrance of, you know, times well spent, kind of like the ultimate, like, innocence lost moment kind of thing, you know?
Right.
where it's like his greatest rival as a child is now, you know, a good friend kind of thing.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like, now he has to face the real world. Maybe it's like everything, you know, this was kind of like a loose end, so to speak, at the Shire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's kind of like, yeah, he wronged this guy, and now he's kind of reprimanded that, and now it's like, now he can really, like, finally leave, I guess.
I think it's worth noting, I wonder if Maggot would have helped them on their journey if Frodo hadn't have stolen the mushrooms. I don't know.
Yeah,
something
to
think
know.
About.
I mean, it's tough because they do play up the kind of Merry and Pippin are good friends with him.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it might have been, you know, but I do think you know, there is something about you know, they've had an interaction before, so they've kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
They know, and that's kind of the thing, right? Maggot is very wary of foreigners, and it's like, you know, he knows Frodo's not a foreigner because he met him, you know, way back when.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, even if they had, like, a negative experience, like, they shared an experience, and that's kind of, like, what binds them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's kind of, you know, it's community, good or bad. It's your own, you know, they're your own.
Honestly, I thought this whole thing was pretty, like, I think it spoke a lot of truth, especially about, like, the libertarian, like, I'll shoot you if you come on my property type. Like, they're not bad guys. They're, like, rough around the edges, but, like, ultimately, they'll help you out.
I 100% agree. The kind of, like, you know, when push comes to shove, they're probably the guys who, you know, help people the most kind of thing.
They're the ones who will say, like, you know, give a middle finger to the Dark Rider and then help you out. Because they gave you the middle finger too, you know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I like this chapter a lot.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I mean,
it was wholesome.
It was good, but it wasn't as good as the elf one.
That's true.
You would say.
But yeah, no, I agree, Tony. It's very wholesome, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically they go to a farm, have a family dinner, and then you know take a ride.
Dude, so sick. Like, oh, boys, we don't have to walk anymore.
And I hate walking.
Shut up.
So, yeah, I guess overall thoughts? Any last thoughts kind of thing?
Dude, great start to the journey.
Yeah, I'm just pumped for more, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly was unexpected in many ways, this experience.
Whoa.
I mean, I'd say it was pretty long expected. Right, well, it's been 17 years, so...
A long expected journey.
It's an expected journey. It's just a guy.
An expected journey.
It's not about the Hobbit, it's just this dude's really long novel about going to California on a road trip.
Oh, so... Is an unexpected journey actually in the books at all, guys?
I don't know.
Because I was kind of trying to look in. I couldn't find it, so I actually cut that out of our last thing because I was like, that might be misinformation, you know?
I need to, like, go get my copy of The Hobbit and check.
Yeah, because I mean, like, a Google search of just, like, unexpected journey, Hobbit book, you know, nothing came up, so, but... Mm.
Well, now you're going to have to cut this out.
Well, maybe. We'll see. Probably, realistically.
Well, leave in the comments if you ever seen the book, An Unexpected Journey. Is that a book in the title?
That's not really the question what we're asking exactly there, Tony, but...
Whatever.
They should still comment.
Yeah. Also,
comment.
Actually, hit the like button if you have seen that, and if you haven't seen it, go ahead and also hit the like button. And
all right. If you think Bilbo's cool, subscribe. If you think Frodo's cool, like. We'll tally the votes in a month, so you know, get your as many votes as you can in now.
Yeah. All right, are there any final thoughts?
I guess I do feel like the Dark Riders, right? They're getting closer and closer, I feel like, each time kind of thing. Like, you know, the two first times you're not even really sure. The first time you don't know if they saw him. The second time you kind of assume they saw him, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, they're crawling toward him.
But, you know, it is the middle of the night, so it could just be like he's flailing, you know, kind of thing.
A lot, like you might smell him.
That is fair. They haven't, like, been directly confronted by a Dark Rider yet.
And then, you know, and then the one in the broad daylight sees him, right? So it's like you're getting closer and closer to an actual confrontation. And I think that'll definitely be kind of like the climax of, you know, this part, so to speak, you know?
Right.
And I, for one, am looking forward to it. Because, like, I don't know, like, from the movie, you definitely didn't, like, you feel the presence almost of the Dark Riders constantly.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas I feel like in the movie, it felt kind of more like they're starting their journey and the Dark Riders are kind of there, you know?
Yeah.
Where also, it feels a lot more like the Dark Riders are the reason for the journey right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's also building really good tension.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like every single time I'm like, come on, guys, get moving, please. He's going to get you. And then, like, in the movies, it's sort of just like, oh, cool, it's a chase scene.
Yeah, you're like, this is a Dark Rider scene now, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. Whereas this is all, it's really focused on the hobbits and, like, sort of going through, oh, shit, like, around the corner. You can feel the tension that they are, like, how, like, the fact that Frodo's like, we got to get off the road, like, we got to go back ways. There's no way.
And I really do think having Pippin there, who's not really aware of what's up, plays into that more. Because, you know, you can't have Frodo just be like, guys, the Black Rider's here, let's go, you know?
Yeah, he's got to, like, somewhat make excuses. My favorite was when he's like, oh, maybe we can scare Gandalf. It'll be a funny joke.
Yeah.
It's like, really? That's what you're going with?
I mean, it would have been pretty funny if he did. Like,
to be fair, Frodo at that point didn't even know like that Black Riders were chasing him. So, like, I think part of that's like he's got to convince himself that it's okay to do this.
Yeah, I wonder if it's not really his. If it's more or less him. If it's his instinct saying like, "Oh, the Dark Riders, they must be evil," or if it's the calling to them, that sort of thing, like. Because obviously they're trying to get, and the ring is trying to make it back to its master. So wouldn't the ring be constantly trying to like call out to them, that sort of thing? And maybe they're like sniffing for the ring, not necessarily the hobbits themselves.
Oh yeah, I mean that was kind of what I assumed. Honestly. Yeah. The so ring, like, yeah, the ring's presence or whatever. The ring's
presence that they're like trying to get at.
Well, yeah, and I think that's.
Are you implying that the ring is smelly?
Yes, it smells of evil.
Oh,
that's fair.
Mordor. So, can we speculate what's happening to Gandalf?
I don't think so.
What's happening to him? Where could he be?
He's probably at that bar that was really well reviewed.
Guys, this ale's really good. One of those hobbits are going to get here.
I got caught up there, man. I was trying to take a shortcut.
You know, shortcuts make long delays.
He shows up with like a six pack. Guys, you tried this new microbrew? It's like Gandalf.
Is Gandalf a beer snob?
I feel like he'd be a pipe weed snob.
Oh, of course.
This tobacco's from Kentucky. It's like, this guy.
Eric's phone died, by the way, guys. So.
Rest in peace, Eric.
Wrap it up here.
So he did have leukemia, and he has passed.